Thanks, team. Good morning. How are you? Great. Good to hear. It's good to be here. It's good to get the opportunity to speak again. Dave throws the occasional one my way. It's good to know. I don't know whether it's because he just wants a break. Yeah. Thought so. But it is good to get an opportunity to share some thoughts with you this morning around build again. Unlike many of you, and including Dave, I'm a pretty average handyman. This is evident in my IKEA attempts. Important for me to remember when I'm building anything is to follow the instructions. I usually go to the instructions about halfway through and then realize I've put half the things on the wrong way and have to start all over again. So I've got to remind myself. So I'm grateful for other people in my life. I guess like Dave can ring Foz and go, but I feel like in that building department, it's pretty much always foggy for me. I know there's some builders around. If I ever get a project, I usually just avoid site fog by getting someone else to do it. Much easier. All right, let me pray and then dive in. Jesus, we just commit this time to you. We thank you that you are here, you're present. You want to encourage us today. That's really what's been on my heart this week, to encourage this community. And I pray that the word on my heart will do just that, that we will feel encouraged, we'll be filled with faith, hope, and love. In all that we are engaged in and doing together as your church. Amen. So Dave opened us up in our new series last week, Build Again, and today I want to just unpack a little bit from the end of Nehemiah 1, end of Nehemiah 2 and chapter 3. I'm not going to dive too much into chapter 3. I don't know if you've ever read Nehemiah chapter 3. It's a little bit like the IKEA instructions. It's the detail, so I'm not going to read that out for you this morning, but I do want to touch on some of the concepts that come from that. You know, I have been around teams all my life, whether that's in sport, as a sport coach, as a player, in leadership, churches, community projects, and one thing that I've learned from all of that experience is this: nothing meaningful gets built by spectators. I see some heads nodding. Vision is inspiring, but walls are built by people who are prepared to have a go and get their hands dirty together. So as I said, when I reflected on the big ideas in this message, I felt very encouraged that we are a people, a church, a community that have a go and are prepared to get our hands dirty together. And I love that about who we are. So in many ways, I feel like, you know, I'm preaching to the converted. And so I feel that today this is a bit of an encouragement to who I believe God has called us to be, but who we are and who we've become over the years. So it's an affirmation. Now, some of you will remember this, but not many. About 23 years ago, we moved into this building, November 2002. It's about four of you, I think, that were here then. A couple of hands, I see those hands. You know, we had an incredible vision for the kingdom and for Kingsway. We were a little church in Caringbah. We had a little old building up there. We sold that and we bought this empty warehouse and we decided that we were going to do church here, that God was calling us to build a facility to facilitate ministry to our community and beyond. It was a huge undertaking for quite a small little church. It was about 100 of us in the church then. And over the coming months, I saw in this incredible act of community coming together to build stuff. All these walls were painted by people from the church. And there was a lot of walls, let me tell you. And, you know, you imagine how long the roller handle had to be to get up to the top of these walls. All the walls, the mezzanine, the kitchens, the cry room, like all the aspects that you see here were all built, painted, cleaned, organized, stacked by people in the church. And we worked hard for months before the grand opening in November 2002. Installing lights, sound systems. We built that mezzanine. Like, that was work. This is before your days, man. You waited till after the work was done before you arrived. It was a community of faith working together hard to make that happen. And the thing about this for us at the time was, it was never about a building. I mean, the building is amazing and we're super grateful for this facility that we have now, which in a sense is a legacy of what's Mrs. Bing Lee. I like Bing Lee. No. Who donated a block of land in the late 40s, early 50s that started this church, Kingsway Church, in 1947. And so in a sense, we're legacy. We have this incredible facility, debt-free. Like, it's an absolute blessing and a gift. But it was never about building a building or even building a church building. It was always about ministry. It was always about the kingdom. It was always about being a kingdom resource, how God wanted us to use this to be able to minister to our community and beyond. And that's what I believe has happened over the years. Kingdom building is always about someone else. The mission, the ministry, the connection, the impact, the future, the generations that are to come. And many of those people that worked on this facility are not here anymore. They go to different churches or some have passed on. It was never for them. It was always for the kingdom and for those who would come after. So God's plan is not built by a gifted few. I believe it's built by the committed many. And that's the heart of Nehemiah's message, in a sense, today. So Nehemiah, as Dave introduced last week, you know, he's seen the need. The walls are down. The impact that that has on the people, both spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every area of their life. He goes to the king, he gets favor, he's on his knees, he's in prayer as his starting point, and then he comes up with this plan of rebuilding the walls. And this is what he says in Nehemiah 2, 17 and 18. But now I said to them, keyword, you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire. Let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and end this disgrace. And then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. And they replied at once, yes, let us rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. You know, Nehemiah didn't say, watch me rebuild the wall. Admire the vision. Support from a distance. He said, come on. Let us rebuild. Shared vision, shared invitation, shared burden, shared ownership. It wasn't a recruitment drive. It was an invitation to something deeper. You know, I believe that when God calls us to build, that it's partly a formation journey. He calls us to build, not just physically, but to build lives, to build people, to build programs, yes, facilities, yes, but formation is his goal. God really calls people to observe renewal. Just come along and watch. He calls them to participate in it, to be part of it. And when we build for the kingdom, it always, I believe, leads to renewal, formation, and fruitfulness. So this next season for Kingdom Kingsway, our build again, however that takes shape and looks, I believe when we build together, renewal, formation, and fruitfulness will be the outcome. For you, yes, but also for those yet to come. As I said, chapter 3 in Nehemiah is very repetitive. But I kind of think that's the point being made. You know, over and over again we hear statements like next to them, after them, beside them, each repaired. It's not just construction detail, it's spiritual formation detail. God isn't just rebuilding a wall, he's rebuilding a people. And that's always his heart. You know, in leadership development, I do a lot of leadership development in my business. I'm often talking to leaders about how important it is not just what you do, but how you do it and who you are when you do it. That's the formation. You know, it's behavioral, yes. It's spiritual, yes. It's character, yes. It's not just what we do that's important. It's how we do it. It's the together, alongside each other. And it's who we are when we do it. No, I believe that the way and the how and the who is far more important than the what. We get overwhelmed by the what. What we have to do, the task, the list, the fog. How do I do this? What do I need to do? What do you want from me? But when we focus and build the how and the way and the who, that's when I believe we get the greater outcomes. You know, we see in time and time again in Scripture, and particularly in this story, this was very much around a people coming together to work side by side to do something spectacular. That if I looked at it, I would get sight fog. It would be way too difficult, way too complex, way too hard, which is why it had never been done before. It's why they sat in ruin, because it seemed like it was too big, it was too hard. God gave Nehemiah a vision that if we do this together and everybody plays their part, we can get this done. And they did get it done in remarkable time. It's never just a building. It's always missional and it's always bigger than the wall. The other thing we see in chapter 3 is that everybody built. Priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, families, leaders, daughters, tradies outside of their normal trade. They didn't wait for the perfect fit, the perfect role, or the perfect job description. They just stepped into faithful obedience and had a go and got their hands dirty. Calling is way less about title or role. It's much more about willingness, unity, and the legacy that we want to leave. There's a number of barriers, I believe, to doing stuff together. External opposition, we read a little bit about that in Nehemiah. Often external opposition fuels togetherness. We rally together to defeat the opposition. But internal opposition is the thing that fractures us. Ego gets in the way. Personal preferences, opinions, my needs. These can become a distraction and a barrier to effective partnership and building together. It slows down the work. It dilutes what and who we are working together for. And I've seen this in my journey a lot, and I've even walked in it myself when my ego gets in the way. when individual opinions or agendas drive our work and we lose that sense of us. And us is critical. Us is also messy. It's chaotic. It's challenging. Sometimes it's disappointing. But us is who we are. It's who we've been created and called to be. Us for them. Love God, love others. In our day, our culture, we live in a very consumeristic culture. You know, what do I get? Do I like it? Does it suit me? Whereas this posture that Nehemiah leads is a posture of, where's my section of the wall? How can I play my part? What has God placed near me that I can do? What is my responsibility? You know, because I believe spiritual formation happens when responsibility replaces preference. Maturity begins when ownership replaces opinion, because we all have a part to play. We are in this together. You don't build resistance by watching. Resilience, I should say. You want to build resilience in your life, then you have to step out of your comfort zone and have a go and get your hands dirty. You don't grow courage by observing. I wish you could. You grow courage by having a go, stepping out and saying yes. You don't develop leadership by reading about it. You get some ideas, all good. If you want to grow as a leader, what do you need to do? Lead. Step in. Have a crack. Get your hands dirty. You know, we used to coin the phrase that Kingsway was a have a crack church. We would just have a crack. We'd have a go. I remember the start of Platform 9. Dave briefly mentioned our housing ministry in the community. And I remember how that started when Brooke and I were sitting having lunch at the old Janelli pub, and the owner came up to us and said, she was an older Catholic lady, she says, I've got this old hotel, Blakehurst, and I've been managed it out for 20 years and we're going to sell it. But in between time, would you guys be interested in using a 18-room hotel for a season, for something? And I could see Brooke's little eyes lighting up and his heart rate increasing and me sitting there panicking about what he was going to say. And he goes, yeah. And like, she charged us $1 a year rent. And we started Platform 9. At the old Blakehurst Hotel, which is not there anymore. And we housed victims of domestic violence and people who were homeless for the next 4 years at that facility. And that was what birthed Platform 9. You don't experience great outcomes without risk, without stepping out of our comfort zone, without participating in God's story. Because it's part of his formation strategy. It's how we learn and grow and mature, is by stepping in, not watching, not waiting, but having a go. The other thing I find interesting or quite clever in the details of how this worked is they repaired the sections nearest their houses. So I love the idea that God gives responsibility close before far. Build your bit. Do it alongside each other. But build your bit. Might be, your bit could be your street, your workplace, your sporting club, your cafe, your leadership team, your family, your ministry space. Kingdom building is not an event, it's a posture. It's not somewhere you go, it's how you live everywhere you are. Side by side matters. Chapter 3 highlights the let us build strategy. Next to them, beside them, after them. Not solo heroes, not superstar builders, but side by side obedience. God's work is relational before it is structural, before it's practical. It's a partnership, a collective together, inspired by love to live differently. The kingdom of God does not advance through watching. It advances through participation and partnership. I was thinking about that this week. The fruit of those who had a go and got their hands dirty 24 years ago. Many of them not here anymore. The early 2000s. The fruit of that is evident today. Thousands of hours in prayer, stacking chairs, cleaning floors, giving encouragements, running programs, helping others. Hundreds of people now living in relationship with Jesus. Following Jesus faithfully. A facility that has touched the lives of thousands and thousands of people. Literally thousands and thousands over the last 20-something years. People who were children then, now young adults living for Jesus. Serving ministries, leading their generations. Young people then who are now adults leading churches around the country. On ministry teams, teaching in colleges, serving communities, building businesses, and growing families of impact. Two new churches planted, Sea Change Church and our Phnom Penh campus in Cambodia. A community care service that we've talked about that's now the number one housing provider in southern Sydney. Hundreds and hundreds of people housed, blessed and supported. An op shop, Tamarisk Kitchen, Wiggles and Giggles, kids ministry, youth programs, ministries in school, workplaces and overseas, all because a group of committed people had a go and got their hands dirty together. And that journey continues. You know, we might be living in the legacy who those who built together side by side before us. But imagine the legacy you are now part of building. A kingdom legacy that will impact generations to come. Let me pray. I thank you, God, that the way you design us is as a togetherness community. You call us into partnership. You call us into participation. You call us to have a go, to get our hands dirty, to put our hands up and say, yep, I want to be a part of building for the kingdom. Whatever that looks like, practically, spiritually, the commitment, the dedication, the cost. God, I pray that we would be and continue to be a community of faith that does this work together, side by side. That we would all see that we have a part to play. That we would all see that building for your kingdom leaves a legacy that people in years to come will thrive because of the work that we've done together side by side for your kingdom. Our world is a mess. And it's getting messier, more divided, more conflicted. A sense of hopelessness and division everywhere we look. You've called us the light and the salt. You said that we are a city on a hill. cannot be hidden. Your church, your people, together, building something great for the kingdom, is the hope of the world. Because you are the hope of the world. May we continue to build for your purposes. May we continue to be formed and shaped as we link arms and hearts to be a part of something beyond ourselves that helps shape the way our community lives and serves and what they experience. In Jesus' name, amen.